Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
What we've been hearing about earlier on the programme is the whole world commodities market's in a very distressed state. And of course, for quite a while we've heard about oil reserves, you've heard about food mountains, but now some countries are actually starting to stockpile food, particularly in the Nordic countries, which we associate with very much being open, efficient, very meticulously planned. But why would some countries, not just in Scandinavia but elsewhere, start stockpiling food? They call it food resource management. Joining me now is Susanna Savage, who is the commodities correspondent with the Financial Times, who can tell me more. Good morning to you, Susanna.
Morning.
It's great to have you. Listen, we know for many years the EU in particular used to have butter mountains and milk lakes and all the rest, but this is a slightly different trend that you've spotted.
Yeah, so basically after the Cold War ended, European countries started to dismantle their food stockpiles, you know, the mountains of butter you're talking about. But recently, in the last few years, and especially in the last year, they've started to stockpile again. And that's, you know, for a number of reasons, from COVID to the war in Ukraine, and then also the increasing uncertainty over trade as a result of Donald Trump's trade war.
So do you think this is partially something about price control, or is it about actual, like, we could have a food emergency, and they're slightly different things?
Yeah, so I would say that the countries in Asia that are doing this increasingly, it's a lot about price control. They want to have big stocks so that if something happens on global markets, they can control prices domestically. But when you look at the Nordic countries, so Finland, Sweden, Norway, this is about an emergency. I spoke to someone in Sweden, and they told me, the official in charge of this, and she said that, you know, they are stockpiling to prepare for a war with Russia. If there's a war, which is NATO versus Russia, that's what they have in mind. So this is really emergency stockpiling.
Now, we're lucky here in Ireland. We produce a lot more food than our population requires because we are pretty damp and we've a lot of rain, as you know. So we have, you know, we export a lot. These Scandinavian countries, are they very much sufficient in food? So they have the ability to stockpile it? I mean, that's my sense. Obviously, Norway, I know, because of its oil reserves and so on. But talk to me through what Scandinavia produces that makes it easier for them.
Well, so Norway actually is a very rich country, but it imports quite a lot. I mean, obviously, it exports a lot of oil, but it imports quite a lot of food. And Finland and Sweden also, they export a lot of agri products, but they also have to import quite a lot. And I think that's part of the anxiety, that whether they could be self-sufficient in the event of being cut off from the rest of the world. And so now they're starting to build up, you know, buffer stocks that might come from Sweden, or they might be importing from elsewhere, or from, you know, from Norway or Finland. And the way this works is that it's private companies that the government is paying to hold these stocks. So they rotate them so that they never sort of go off, because we've seen in the past that that was a big problem when the government tried to store them themselves, that eventually they went bad.
And of course, there is form here. Historically, we had Second World War, massive disruption to supply chains then. Other times around the 70s with the oil price crisis and so on. But particularly in the Second War, it wasn't so much that there was a shortage of food, but a shortage of shipping to get food to people. So that's an added problem, is yes, there may be food around the place, but can you transport it and get it to yourself?
Exactly. I mean, and that's one of the reasons that Sweden, for example, is focusing on the north of Sweden, because firstly, a lot of the production is in the south of Sweden, but they're also worried that they won't be able to have the transport to get it up there. And the same with Finland. One of the big problems is that a lot of the food arrives via the Baltic Sea. So if that sea is out of action for whatever reason, like in the Second World War, then those ships won't be arriving carrying food. And that's when they need to have enough food to last. So Finland actually increased their stockpiles so that they have enough for the whole population. It used to be 6 months, and now they've increased it to 9 months. So they could last 9 months without a ship arriving.
Yeah, I suppose if they were embargoed or something like that, or if the Russian fleet put them, you know, put their ports under an embargo of some kind and sealed them off, that's where this would all come into play. Obviously,
exactly.
There are certain foods that can't be stored, perishables and so on. So I'm presuming in the selection of stuff, you know, there are certain things that just can't be stored. So it's slightly lopsided in what they're actually stockpiling.
Exactly. So there's a big focus on grains, I think, because, you know, cereals, because that's a lot of sort of basic calories come from that. I mean, Germany recently, they're proposing changing what they stockpile to include tinned goods. So you might get tinned lentils or ravioli because they're worried about, you know, having enough diversity in the food that they're stockpiling, which shows how seriously they're considering the fact that they might actually have to use these stockpiles.
Now, from talking to the people you've talked to, were they as worried about this as they are worried about Russian oil and gas? We know that is a big part of the strategic mix in that part of the world, the export of Russian oil and gas, sometimes crossing right across Europe in pipelines. Is this right up there with that sort of worry, the sort of fuel and energy worry? Would you put them on the same level in terms of the people you've been talking to?
The people I've been speaking to, yeah, they've definitely spoken about these things together and said that these are both absolutely critical. I mean, obviously oil and gas is critical, but so is food. And I think actually, you know, when the war in Ukraine started and parts of Europe suddenly realized they were very dependent on Russia for energy, that's been a wake-up call for other sectors that actually, how dependent are we on Russia or on other parts of the world for our food? And, you know, is this a really bad thing? Should we be prepared for not being able to access food from outside? So I think that, you know, energy markets have actually had a knock-on effect on the food sector and governments thinking around food.
The strange thing about the war in Ukraine was wheat still getting exported. I know Russia has caused problems in the Black Sea and so on, but it's possible even in a worst case scenario, the shipping and possibly certain products might still get out there depending on what happens. So it's not all one way. It's not just, you know, very, very gloomy. It's possible that even in war conditions, stuff can still flow around.
Well, that's certainly the argument of the economists I spoke to, who really think that stockpiling is problematic because, you know, the problem is one country doing it is fine, but the second one country starts to do it, you often see a kind of domino effect or a cascade where other countries start to do it. And that reduces the amount of food or the amount of cereals particularly available on global markets, which pushes up prices, particularly for poorer countries and who can't afford to stockpile. And the economists I spoke to said, you know, actually, if you look at what's happened recently, yes, COVID was really problematic. And yes, the war in Ukraine disrupted markets. But actually, the market's been remarkably resilient in the fact that we have still been able to get grain out through the Black Sea.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Has the stockpiling, does it get to a certain stage where it has global pricing effect? It's probably small enough at the moment that it's not enough to actually affect global prices that much. But I presume there's a sort of a tipping point of countries really get into this kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean, that's what the economists I spoke to said, that they see the beginnings of, and that they're worried is going to escalate from here on out. And already when you look to Asia, and as I said, Asia kind of does this for different reasons sometimes, but India, for example, accounts for 40% of the global rice market. And the fact that they have the largest ever rice stockpile that they've ever had, that, you know, obviously has an impact on global rice prices, and especially for countries in Africa that import a lot of Indian rice. You know, this does have a knock-on effect. And we have seen that in the past. We did see that in the 2008-2009 food price crisis, when countries started to stockpile because they were scared of prices going up. And then that's what pushed prices really high.
Yeah, well, you're going to become an unlikely hero now of Irish farmers with this item we've just been doing, Susanna, with your talk about stockpiling and food security and all the rest, because they've been saying this for a long time and banging that particular drum. But listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you for walking us through it. That's Susanna Savage. She is the commodities correspondent for the Financial Times. Lots of people texting in already saying, isn't it quite extraordinary that we're certain countries are piling up the canned goods already? It doesn't say much about the world we're heading into. But thank you very much for Susanna for bringing us attention to that.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.